This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Pulau Kukup National Park is one of the largest uninhabited mangrove forests in the world, and the island was declared a wetland of international importance under the Ramsar Convention 1971. Back in 2003, news that the national park was to be degazetted and converted to sultanate land has caused much confusion. So we wade through those muddy waters now to find out what's really happening with Dr. Ahmad Aldri Amir. He's a senior lecturer and research fellow at the Institute for Environment and Development, or Lestari, at University Kebangsaan Malaysia. And he's also the coordinator of the Malaysian Mangrove Research Alliance and Network, My Mangrove. Welcome, Dr. Aldri. How are you today?
Hello, Judith. How are you? Thank you for having me again.
Always a pleasure. So yes, we just caught up. It was only in August, you know, time flies. You gave us a very enlightening one-on-one on mangroves. How are things going, especially with My Mangrove?
My mangrove is, I think, doing good. So now we have me and some of my friends, we actually plan for a larger scale projects. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, this was just finalized, the discussion that we had was to have or to establish some permanent research plots. And one of them was planned to be on Pulau Kukup.
So there you go.
This is very interesting, yeah.
So here you are. Pulau Kukup has been making headlines. You know, there was news, of course, that it was to be degazetted as a national park. But before we get into all of that, why is Pulau Kukup so special?
Oh, there you go. Okay, this is very good. And I may not have covered the good or the benefit or the importance of mangrove islands during our first conversation the other day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is another unique characteristic of mangrove, yeah? Especially, for example, Pulau Kukup. Okay, it is a mangrove island. So there are two types of mangrove islands. One is being is a land deposited by the indigenous silt that come from rivers. So this is apparently quite normal for tropical countries like ours. And then another type of mangrove islands are coral islands that are formed on coral reefs.
Sure.
So these can be found in Great Barrier Reef, for example, and then in Florida, in other coral reefs, yeah, around the world. So okay, but now we're focusing on Pulau Kukup. So Pulau Kukup is one example of a mangrove island, especially in Peninsular Malaysia. We have some other mangrove islands actually, for example, like along the coast of Selangor. So we come to this question that actually I went through all the reports from newspaper and some write ups as well. In fact, including academic writing, I found that we have to maybe revise the status that has been reported, because some reporters actually reported Pulau Kukup as being the second largest uninhabited mangrove in the world.
Yeah.
Some reported actually it is as the second largest mangrove island in the world. So I actually revisited. I tried to find hard proof or hard evidence on this, but nothing I found except for some grey literatures. And we cannot rely on this fact. But I did some quick calculation. Actually, islands like, for example, Pulau Klang, yeah? It is 5,000 hectare of mangrove island, like total mangrove island, and it is uninhabited as well. So, and then Pulau Selat Kering, Pulau Cik Mat Zin, yeah? Pulau Ketam is also a total mangrove island, but okay, it is inhabited. So, at least in Selangor Coast alone, there's three islands larger than Pulau Kukup.
Okay.
So, I don't think we can establish Pulau Kukup as the second largest mangrove in the world, mangrove island in the world, or second largest mangrove uninhabited mangrove island in the world. So we will revisit that. We will try to, I will work with my friends to maybe write or publish something on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so being a mangrove island, it is a habitat or play a very important role on as itself. Yeah?
Of course.
Okay, so first of all, it is deposited because of sedimentation processes that is happening on the coast. Okay, so we get sediment being transported from the river, and it is deposited normally in the mangrove along the estuary or along the river. but some are being deposited just outside of the river mouth. Mm-hmm. And this actually forms the island. And then normally Mangrove Island is a low-lying island. So it is within the range, if you remember the zone that I discussed.
Yes,
I mean, in the earlier discussion. So the high tide will actually cover the whole land. So so only mangrove will appear during high tide. And then, the land will only be above low tide. Mm. So this is a range, the tidal range that is, appreciated by mangrove. Yeah?
Okay.
All right. Okay, normally mangrove island will comprise of entirely mangrove plants, but it can also be partially, like for example in subtropical area, it's a mix of mangrove and maybe salt marshes. So still it is a mangrove island. And then of course in mangrove island, as its neighbor on the estuary or on the riverine area, they are highly productive and most of them are highly diverse as well, and they are more or maybe similarly complex in structure. Okay, especially in tropical area, we can find island like, for example, Pulau Kukup alone was reported to have 35 at least true mangrove species, and then not yet talking about the fauna or animal living on the island.
Sure.
Okay, but then the difference between mangrove island and mangrove estuary or inland mangrove is they exposed to a more rapid or hydrological and meteorological conditions, meaning they are exposed to harsher tidal activity or winds or other meteorological or hydrological events. Yeah?
Okay.
So, but then these actually enhance their susceptibility to drastic changes. Meaning they are more dynamic than the one in the estuaries. So they change a lot, but they recover a lot as well, quite fast as well. And then they are also by being there on the mouth or river mouth normally or on the coast, they are like the final frontier or final hiding place for this place fauna, for example, right? Because if they move from the inland, so this is their final stop before going to the open sea. So this is very important. Mm-hmm. Okay, especially for Pulau Kukup. Okay, because this is a near shore island, like just 1 kilometer away from Kukup town, from Putian, from the villages. So it is actually, to me, how I see it when I look closer on the map, this is actually an extension of the mainland of Johor.
Okay.
So, if you look closely or you try to walk or swim in between Pulau Kukup and Kukup town, it is a shallow water actually. So, this area can be sedimented. Yeah, and this is why we plan for a long-term monitoring plot in Kukup, mm-hmm. because we want to understand the sedimentation processes that is happening. Mm-hmm. So, we might gain land. Yeah, Johor might gain land naturally by having a larger Kukup town in many years, maybe 100 years to come. So this is the opportunity for land building to address this knowledge of science. And then furthermore, we can maybe discuss about mini island biogeography. This is a discipline. It was introduced by MacArthur and Wilson, I think in the 60s, the concept of island biogeography. So we have Pulau Kukup, we have Pulau Klang as the ideal site for this kind of study. This could also be a Darwin's Galapagos to us.
Right.
So this is a good study site. This is a good experimental site. This is a good showcase, actually, for Malaysia as a whole.
Okay. So there's, of course, a lot of biodiversity there. It's very important for ecological functions as well. I mean, all that goes without saying, right? I mean, like what you told us in the first interview, mangroves are very, very important.
Very important, yeah.
Okay. Right. All right. So it has been called a national park. I mean, that was its status up till now. And after this quick break, we're going to find out a bit more about that change in status and what that will actually mean to Pulau Kukupa. I'm speaking today to Dr. Ahmad Aldri Amir. He's a senior lecturer and research fellow at the Institute for Environment and Development, or Lestari, at University Kebangsaan, Malaysia. He is also the coordinator of the Malaysian Mangrove Research Alliance and Network, My Mangrove. And we're trying to find out, you know, all this confusion over the conversion of Pulau Kukup's status. And we'll find out more about that after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is Dr. Ahmad Aldri Amir. He is a senior lecturer and research fellow at the Institute for Environment and Development, or Lestari, at University Kebangsaan, Malaysia. He's also the coordinator of the Malaysian Mangrove Research Alliance and Network, or My Mangrove, as it's known. And we are, you know, wading through the kind of muddy waters over the conversion of Pulau Kukup status. This is Pulau Kukup over in Johor. So, Dr. Aldri, yes, you know, it's been making headlines. It was a national park, Pulau Kukup was a national park, and you know, now it has been degazetted and made into sultanate land, but it still remains a national park. So what does all of this mean? I mean, there's a lot of politics going on, but what does all of that mean in terms of you know, its status?
All right, okay. I remember if you you spotted my recent article in NSTE.
Yes, I did.
It was actually talking about importance of mangroves and how it is being disturbed by plastic pollution.
Mm-hmm.
I submitted that article a day or 2 days before, I mean, this issue came out.
Yeah.
So when I submitted to the to NST, and then the same morning, actually, there was another article of the statement coming from our Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, on the importance of mangrove and the importance of conserving mangroves in Langkawi. But then we need to allow people to enjoy mangroves. So then it will be significant, right? So,
uh-huh.
Okay, the morning was fine. And right after lunch, I received like viral messages on the revocation of reservation of National Park of Pulau Kukup. It actually caused panic, and I had a panic attack, like, oh, okay, what's going on with Pulau Kukup? Because it is a state park, but it's, the status is National Park for Malaysia because it is also a Ramsar site. So I was panicked, but I tried to remain cool as a good researcher. I tried to find it from the right sources, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was lucky to have a few friends in the Johor Civil Service that actually hooked me up with the Secretary of the Palace, Secretary to His Majesty. And I received a response text actually from him asking me to write in, meet up with His Majesty to hear from himself. Okay, good. So, and then that one. And then I also need to actually get it from the right source of the state government too, right? What are the plans? Okay. And then I did my researcher things. I tried to go through all the past documents and past data that I collected and some of my friends collected. So again, I collated everything just to prepare on meeting His Majesty.
Sure.
All right. So my article in NST appeared the next day. And then the same day, or early the next day, another viral came out. Like, this is a letter coming from His Majesty saying that, yeah, this is a sultanate land, but this area will be conserved as a national park. It will still go on to be a conservation area, and it will be managed by Johor Parks Corporation. So to me, it was a huge relief. Meaning, so we have a new scenario here. Maybe some article actually highlighted this as a game changer. They say,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, so now other states or other countries, they have forest reserve or they have national park as Ramsar site, but this time we may have a sultanate land, a royal park maybe as a Ramsar site, because all the discussion we had before is the degazettement of national park to become sultanate land, but we haven't discussed this may be at the national level about the status of degazetting it as a Ramsar site. To me, there's no problem. I mean, like there are sites here. Yeah? I mean, like we have examples in Malaysia. For example, in Pulau Kukup and Tanjung Piai before, it was a national park under Johor Parks Corporation as a Ramsar site. We have in Johor also, we have Sungai Pulai, a forest reserve, mm-hmm. that is also listed as a Ramsar site. other than that, we have 7. This is another error I found in a couple of articles saying we have 5. We as a matter of fact, we have 7 Ramsar sites in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for example, we have Kuching wetlands, yeah, managed by the Sarawak Forestry Corporation. And then we have KK Wetlands, Kota Kinabalu, our new baby, our new Ramsar site. This is actually managed by an NGO, Sabah Wetlands Conservation Society. So we have a diverse of types, of management types on Ramsar site. So with this Pulau Kukup issue going on, I think it actually provide another ray of light. Maybe let's look at it that way, and then but of course there are some measures that we need to discuss. Possibly, I mean, of course, we know that the palace, I mean, the High Majesty of Johor, the Sultan, has great vision for his state. Mm-hmm. So, but then the managers must provide like a good job as well, right? Do a good job in managing it as well. So, yeah, to fulfill the vision of the state. So, maybe we have, I mean, Johor Parks Corporation from now on must come up with a strong conservation plan to align it to the vision of the state. And then a solid one that actually fulfill the need for Johor Parks Corporation law. And then the requirement for satellite land, for example. So merge them together, work on the ways to come up with a concrete or powerful conservation plan for Pulau Kukup. And I'm pretty sure it will be a good attraction for Pulau Kukup and Johor as a whole. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, I was just, going through things that other conservationists were saying, and then even though it keeps its status as a national park, the Johor MB didn't specifically state that the island will be re-gazetted under the National Parks Johor Corporation Enactment 1989. So the argument there is that there's a huge difference between perceived status and actual legal status. And, you know, if it's not re-gazetted, the management authority will have no legal jurisdiction to enforce the law in the national park. Is that something that is of concern?
Possibly, yeah, because, okay, I know, I mean, I've been speaking to a lot of my friends from different section of the community.
Sure, of course.
Okay, so for example, like the scare, I mean, especially the environmental NGOs, they are scared because this is a repetition of Johor. Actually, Johor is actually is being developed rapidly.
Right? I'm a Johorian myself, so I know.
Oh, you yeah. are okay. And then so it's highly developed, and then so as you know, like some development will put environment aspect or sector priority on environmental sector less, but we can actually promote sustainable development through Johor. Okay, so maybe Iskandar Malaysia, for example, is already highly developed, and then so conservation site maybe on Mersing part on the west coast part, for example, Pulau Kukup, I mean, can still be promoted, and can actually play or provide a support or economic support for Johor itself, especially on tourism, for example. I mean, this is happening already. A lot of conservation sites also in Malaysia, for example, Langkawi, like I highlighted earlier. Mm. It is a UNESCO Global Geopark, so it is being protected, conserved as a geopark, and it actually attracts, I mean, triple number of tourists. So this can be done also. Okay, of course, Ramsar is not as strict as other UNESCO programs like Man and Biosphere Reserve or World Heritage Site or World Heritage List or even Geopark. But this actually provide framework or guideline to totally conserve it for sustainable use. This is the ultimate aim of Ramsar. So it won't block this area from not being used by local or traditional users like the villagers, right? So they still allow it. But then of course, okay. So being de-gazetted as a national park, I mean, there are other measures that can be used. Okay, so maybe Johor is trying to come up with this, strategy like putting extra security on the land, if you look at it that way, right? For example, Pulau Kukup. So now we cannot simply do development, and then just at the state level, it has to go up one step, like to get the permission from the palace, from the High His Majesty. So it may give or provide more security to the land. All right. So, but then of course, state government must back up. I mean, all of us researchers as well must back up, like to provide good information or good advice before any development is being carried out. So there are so many probabilities and then good opportunities as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe. So this is a concern also. It is, a commitment actually already provided by His Majesty and the Crown Prince. So, let's see how this goes.
I guess the worry is that, this under... if it's added to the schedule of the Sultanate Lands Enactment, this makes the island the private property of the ruler in council, right? Therefore, giving him almost total control over the sale, the lease, the development of the island. So I suppose that's what everyone's worried about, what if things go the other way, not so much positive, but more negative and, too much development happens, for example. I mean, that would be quite disastrous for the area, wouldn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Okay, so yeah, there is a concern, of course. Mm-hmm. But then, to me, like the Sultan and the Crown Prince actually is a visionary father and son, mm-hmm. I would say. So they have this vision for the state, and then they want to share it with the state government to do it properly, right?
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure they are also open for maybe concern from. I'm pretty sure from what my experience was, they're quite very very concerned with their people. So there are chances, like this is modern, these days are modern, right? You can actually address ideas through internet. I don't have Twitter or I don't have Instagram, but I heard like from my friend saying that Tunku Mahkota Johor, for example, responded through concern or inquiry through social media. So meaning you can address some ideas, but I would suggest that we come up with a way to do suggestion like properly, maybe through meetings or documentation, right? So but they are open for ideas as well. So the power of people nowadays, especially what's happening in Malaysia recently, mm-hmm. can contribute to curb further, bad kind of development,
sure.
Unsustainable development. So there must be measures that we can work that out.
Yeah, I think what you said about power of the people, that is most important, right? Yeah. Always, I suppose, keeping that pressure up, making sure that, we keep an eye.
Yeah,
on
keep
what's,
an eye, yeah. Actually, to actually support the managers as well later on. Although we come up with a conservation plan, of course, the managers will have their strategies, SOP as well. Mm-hmm. So we can actually suggest, this is our job as community, to provide ideas and suggestion. To make the management more efficient, right?
Yeah.
So we know, for example, if you have bad experience, for example, like accidents on jetty, for example, going on Pulau Kukup, right? So there must be some faulty on the setup or the building of jetty. You can straight away actually comment it, because now this is a style of putting everything on social media. But there are actually channels to actually report this or address your concern, formally, right? So we can do that. So there must be. So we have to come up, or the managers must come up with fairness or openness. Because another concern, actually, this could be your next question, like why the process happened like very secretively.
Yes,
or,
yeah.
So there are, I heard about this concern, but maybe different state has different style of doing things, right? For example, Selangor does have a provision like before the gazettement of any forest reserve, for example, you have to have public hearing or public comment. So this is the way states manage their resources, right? So mm-hmm. if Johor wants to come up with that measure as well, yeah, by all means, the state exco must discuss and come up with that plan. Actually, public concern must be considered in any kind of development. Mm-hmm. Another thing is resources like Pulau Kukup. Yeah, this is a shared ecosystem,
yeah.
Shared by all community in Johor locally, shared by all of us in Malaysia nationally. regionally and globally. Because, okay, these resources, like Mangrove Island, like I mentioned, maybe I've already highlighted the one in Klang and in Selangor and in Johor. But this is actually a shared resources for all our friends all over the world. Like, for example, our friends in the UK, for example, they don't have Mangrove Islands. So this is, I mean, whenever they travel, we must tap on this opportunity, like to tell them that we have a mangrove island, a pristine mangrove island, uninhabited mangrove island, and we have so many plants, species growing in this island. Come and see. Mm. Okay. So besides that, attracting tourists or visitors for this value, we can actually come up with some good new economy. For example, attraction. I had a couple of discussion with my friends as well. A new branch of tourism now, they call it therapeutic or hospice tourism. For example, like, this is pristine area, right? So it may give like this calming effect for your health. So maybe, build a good hospital in Kukup Town, not Pulau Kukup, on Kukup Town, yeah, to provide a place for this kind of treatment, right? So we can venture, we can brainstorm and come up with so many other attraction, yeah, to on top of ecosystem value that is provided by the mangrove. For the community, for global community, we can come up with something as an extra attraction for Pulau Kukup. Mm-hmm. So not only building things on Pulau Kukup, yeah, we provide facilities on the mainland, already a developed area, to access Pulau Kukup, because this is a shared value. So we as a manager, as a caliph, to manage this, we have to be fair as well, because this area has been used for ages by communities to fish, to get their income or to support their livelihood. So we cannot stop it like that, right? Okay, so we must still allow, but do it properly. Mm-hmm. Actually, another reason, I think, why this issue happened, because this is even my personal experience, like maybe because Johor is very highly developed to be a modern state, so maybe a visit to Pulau Kukup actually provide bad experience on the aesthetic value. I don't know, maybe the way that all this aqua cage culture is going on, maybe it's unpleasant to the eyes. So maybe possibly there are some plans to revisit on how these activities are being carried out, or maybe the jetty isn't that beautiful or doesn't have any aesthetic value. So this mini development, a small facility they developed to appreciate nature in Pulau Kukup can be introduced, but not building huge buildings, I mean hotels on Pulau Kukup that's or big ports in Pulau Kukup. I don't think that's a good idea.
I mean, that would be, I mean, you know, politics aside, you know, mm-hmm, all of this aside, mm-hmm, losing that land would be devastating, isn't
devastating,
it?
Devastating, yeah, that's right. Because I try best not to interrupt in many political discussions.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But then
yeah.
Ecologically...
Yeah.
This is super important. This is very important. Like I mentioned earlier, this not just a mangrove ecosystem. This is a mangrove island. Mm. All right. So okay, another thing ecologically. As you know, the coastline of Selangor, Melaka, Negeri Sembilan, Johor is badly affected by erosion and slight increase in sea level. So, many areas are being disturbed and destroyed, actually. Gone. Most of this area are gone. So, Pulau Kukup actually provide a sanctuary for all these natural organisms, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, for birds especially. So, now, like, migratory birds, we had great discussion. I mean, they are still, migrating at this as we speak now. After islands, after Kuala Gula, they will travel down to the Selangor Islands, the Klang Islands, and then in Negeri Sembilan, Melaka. So Johor, Pulau Kukup is one of the final place before leaving Malaysia. Mm. So this is their final R&R to get all their foods, and then to get all their supplies, energy, before flying further down. Another thing, that the importance of maintaining or sustaining natural habitats or ecosystem in Johor, because to me this is important. I may not be that qualified to discuss about this, but the genetic flow, you know, like Asia is a huge continent, especially the continental Asia, actually ends at Johor, right? Tanjung Piai is the southern, southernmost tip of continental Asia. So this actually, we have to sustain or maintain all these coastal habitats as well to allow for genetic flow to go on, right? Before transferring across Sunda Shelf to Borneo and the rest of the, islands or continents from Asia. So this is why we have to allow for connectivity to flow, natural habitat to be conserved or protected. So, yeah, by protecting Pulau Kukup, this is a great opportunity to actually protect as well the coastline of Johor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So although I pointed out about building facilities in Kukup Town, not necessarily to encroach into the mangroves in Kukup itself or Pontian itself. So protect that one too, because you must allow for connectivity on the mainland and the island as well. So like I mentioned earlier also, this actually promotes maybe sedimentation process that actually allow for land building in Johor. So yeah,
okay.
A lot of important ecological things here.
Okay.
Yeah, this is what I can remember for at the moment.
So, I guess, just to kind of conclude, Dr. Audrey, we need to keep an eye on what's happening. It is a very ecologically important, diverse area. And like you said, like the power of the people, we need to just make sure that we keep an eye on things.
Yeah, that's right. Be the ears and eye for the government, mm-hmm. and to promote sustainable development, because sustainable development must consider environmental pillar, the main pillar. I mean, of course, if you hear from me, I'm very eco-centric. So there are three pillars that actually promote sustainable development, consisting of environment, economic and social. Economic and social combined is 2/3 of the whole structure already. But then without the support of this 1/3 pillar, the environment, the other 2/3 are not going to be sustained. Mm. So it has to come together. We have to rope these three in with good governance, with the support of the royal families, of the smart government management. We can make this happen, like sustainable development. So especially for Johor, I know the concern was another thing, the rapid development actually encroached in so many other natural sites, natural environment in Johor itself. That possibly maybe because of the past reputation of the development actually scare a lot of us, the community. But yeah, we learn from mistakes. There are channels for us to address this. So we have to do this properly, and we can do this properly. So be the eyes and ear for the government. Share this with all of us, like scientists. Like I mentioned earlier also in the previous conversation, we to do restoration of mangrove, we need scientific advice, we need knowledge to do that. And to do development is even more important, right? Mm. So, please get us along. Researchers or experts in their field, to provide good input for any kind of development. Because I know, especially for me, if you want to do something in the mangrove, it will be a no-go project, right? but then adjacent to mangrove, like already developed area, can be developed further or redeveloped, right? So, but don't encroach in the current nature environment, because we don't have that much anymore, all right? So if you want to propose for new development, revisit past developed area that has been abandoned or maybe are failing. So redevelop this area. Okay, and then I had this one idea before, like long time ago. Like for example, shopping malls, right? You want to build a business development area, business centers or whatnot. I mean, look at all the shopping malls we have. Most of them are empty.
Yeah.
Revisit that plan. Look at this existing shopping malls, for example. If you want to develop, redevelop this area. Don't go into natural environment to make new development for business center. And then, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't.
All right?
Yeah.
So knowledge is very important. Science, scientific input is very important. So we need to understand the hydrology. If you disturb the mainland, for example, mangroves in the mainland, it will have effect on Cocop Island as well. So yeah, let's do this properly. I mean, like now, actually, all this concern, like all this issue, is becoming huge because actually, I see it in another perspective. Everyone is knowledgeable now. Like yeah. Everyone is very concerned about the environment. So it doesn't make sense in this new era for us to do, I mean, bad actions of unsustainable development. So that's why degazettement is a big issue because it doesn't tally with the way we are heading, right? Yeah. But then if it's converted or degazetted to become a more secure protection for the land, by all means, please go ahead. But then, of course, come up with measures, come up with a conservation plan, agreement between the state government and the royals, yeah, to come up with the same vision, a good SOP for the development. So it will be a beautiful attraction for Johor and Malaysia as a whole.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess the important thing is also for the Johor, I suppose, Sultanate, if you want to say, to just be open about everything that's happening so that people aren't concerned, you know, people aren't worried, right?
Yeah, everyone will be happy. I mean, yeah live a happy life as Malaysians. So everyone happy, we will have a happy country.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Aldry, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Dr. Ahmad Aldry Amir. He's a senior lecturer and research fellow at the Institute for Environment and Development, or Lestari, at University Kebangsaan Malaysia. And he's also the coordinator of the Malaysian Mangrove Research Alliance and Network, or My Mangrove. And, you know, he was helping us to figure out what's going on, you know, over at Pulau Kukup, you know, all this confusion over the conversion of its status from national park into sultanate land. So let's hope for the best here. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. And of course, if you want to find out more about Dr. Aldry's work, you can always head to his Facebook page at facebook.com/mangrove.my. Am I correct? And you can get in touch with him over there. Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.